strong word did cleave the darkness. At thy speaking, it was done.
You're listening to the Green Pastures with Jesus podcast, the audio home of Shepherd of the Lakes Lutheran Church, located in lovely Fairmont, Minnesota. You found your daily home for a few minutes with Jesus, including a Monday and Thursday in-depth study podcast and the occasional Saturday bonus episode. I'm your host, Pastor Peter Hagen. Today we've got our daily Bible reading, so take a deep breath and let's hear what God has to say. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. We give you thanks, O Lord, for the rest of the past night, and for the gift of a new day with its opportunities to serve you. Grant that we may pass its hours in the freedom of your service, and when evening comes, give you thanks again, for you alone are our Lord, our Redeemer, Creator, Sanctifier. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today's Bible reading comes from 2 Timothy chapter 1. So 2 Timothy, a little bit of introduction first. 2 Timothy was Paul's final letter, as near as we can tell. Written probably around the year 66 or 67, it seems that both the Apostle Paul and Peter were martyred under the Emperor Nero. Peter, by tradition, and fairly strong tradition at that, so it's fairly reliable. Peter was crucified, and he had asked to be crucified upside down because he didn't consider himself worthy to die in the same fashion as his Lord. The Apostle Paul, on the other hand, since he was a Roman citizen, the Apostle Paul would not have been subject or would not have been allowed to have been crucified. He was most likely beheaded. So here, 2 Timothy, he writes, and we have a little bit of background about his final defense. It's quite possible that he had been released from prison and released from house arrest at the end of the book of Acts, because apparently the case had fallen apart. We don't know for certain, but it's possible. It's also then probable, I'll say, that he returned to the Aegean area, Aegean Sea, up to Ephesus, and then Troas, over to Macedonia, maybe even down to Corinth sometime in there. But at any rate, he was captured by some Jewish leaders, or the opposition that he had been continually facing, and eventually shipped off to Rome for trial once more, probably for some sort of supposed crime against the emperor, or disturbing the peace, or advocating some sort of a god that was not the patriotic god of the Romans. And so Paul writes 2 Timothy from Rome. He's been a prisoner for some time. This Christian man from Ephesus that we'll hear about, Onesiphorus, had already sought him out and visited him at Rome. There had already been one hearing, and Paul had stood by himself. He had been deserted for it. And yet, with the Lord's help, he had successfully defended himself. Later on in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he says that he had been rescued from the lion's mouth. There again, speaking metaphorically, because as a Roman citizen, he would not have been subject to being thrown to the lions. But Paul knows that that he's probably not going to be released, that he is going to see the end of his days here on earth, and he is virtually alone. Luke is with him, Luke the doctor, the man who wrote the book of Luke and the book of Acts. Although Luke is not an apostle, he does travel with Paul for some times. He's a Greek man. And so Paul writes to Timothy to hopefully see him once more before he passes from this earth, calls Timothy his beloved child, even though winter is coming soon, and then travel on the sea would be very treacherous, if not impossible. And so he's writing to Timothy. He's writing this letter, 2 Timothy, really in case that Timothy can't make it to Rome in time, either if Paul would be executed or if travel plans would get delayed and he wouldn't be able to make the trip by sea. And so in it, he puts into words all that he wants Timothy to know and remember. This is kind of Paul's last will and testament, where he bids Timothy to preserve the gospel, to preach faithfully, to guard the word of God, against the false attacks of false teachers, to train men to transmit it and to preach it faithfully, and to be ready to share in his own suffering. Paul really says, you know what, Timothy? It's all worth it. As he sits there, probably in a dark dungeon, not too much, you know, he didn't have cable TV, that's for sure. And he knows that he probably isn't going to really see the light of day as a free man anymore. Paul says that this is worth it. And so this letter really has a very personal characteristic to it, but it's also an official thing. Because what Paul says to Timothy here is also meant for broad distribution in God's church. The warnings that Paul holds out for Timothy are warnings that every Christian needs to take to heart, and the encouragement, likewise, is encouragement that every Christian ought to take to heart. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, according to the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank my God, whom I serve as my forefathers did with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you, so that I may be filled with joy. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. So do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we had done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given to us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. That is why I am suffering as I am. Yet I am not ashamed, because I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him for that day. What you heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. You know that everyone in the province of Asia has deserted me, including Phygellus and Hermogenes. May the Lord show mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, because he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. On the contrary, when he was in Rome, he searched hard for me until he found me. May the Lord grant that he will find mercy from the Lord on that day. You know very well how many ways he helped me in Ephesus. This is the word of our God. And so what we see here, yes, personal letter, professional letter, but most of all and above all, a letter from one Christian to another. We see the sort of Christian love among Christians, praying for one another. Verse 3, constantly remembering you in my prayers. Verse 4, the tears at parting, the joy of being reunited. And above all, the joy of hearing that another walks in the faith and walks in the truth. As John says in, I don't know, 2nd or 3rd John, I have no greater joy than to hear my children walk in the truth. And while that is true from a parental perspective, it's also true from a pastoral or a fellow Christian perspective. When John says, you know, my children, he's probably in those verses talking about his congregation members. But here, you know, Paul says, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God. And so it's kind of curious. In this chapter, we hear a little bit about it and a little bit later, that apparently when Timothy was ordained into the pastoral ministry, somebody had made, you know, a prophecy about him during that time. Probably the Apostle Paul. prophesying a little bit about what Timothy would do or would have to face in later times. He makes reference to it here. He also refers to it back in, I think, in the book of Galatians, perhaps. But what he really says, he really focuses on the fact that God has given us a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. And so, as Paul kind of, he could certainly be down in the dumps about having been deserted and now facing the prospect of his own death. But he says, he talks about the grace of God, the power of God, the joy of the gospel, that that he is not ashamed of suffering because he knows Jesus, of course. And you and I are in that exact same boat, that you know Jesus, that you've been baptized into his name, that his voice has reached you through his word, that his sacrament has come to you and nourished you. And so the Jesus that we know is able to guard his flock. We know that the good shepherd guards his flock with his voice. And so the encouragement today, as always, stand firm in the Lord, Paul says. Even when, and especially when, suffering comes your way, don't think it's something strange, but rather take heart and take confidence because you know your Lord. His character has not changed. His love for you has not changed. His forgiveness for you has not diminished. And so when he says, come, follow me, take up your cross and follow me, he's really saying, dear friend, there's nothing to worry about. Even though in the short term, and yeah, perhaps even for the rest of your life, it may look like God has placed upon you a cross too heavy to bear, keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. You know him, and he loves you. God bless your day.
Jerusalem, the golden.
Thanks for listening to Green Pastures with Jesus, the audio home of Shepherd of the Lakes Lutheran Church of Fairmont, Minnesota. If you like what you just heard, we hope you'll pass along our website, www.shepherdofthelakes.net. Pass that along to your friends and colleagues. Be sure to check out our archives section at our website for previous podcasts. You can find us 9:30 a.m. Sunday mornings at 323 East 1st Street in Fairmont, just up the hill from Richard's Towing. Any questions, contact me, Pastor Hagen, 507-236-9572. God bless your day.
What bliss beyond compare.